From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Attorneys for more than 500 alleged victims of clergy sex abuse say their clients are inching toward a settlement with the Boston Archdiocese. If approved, the $85 million agreement might provide some compensation and relief to the victims.
But even if an agreement ends a legal chapter in the scandal, in many of these cases, the truth about what happened or didn't happen can never be known. One case in particular shows how hard it is to get at the facts, especially when there's been a vigorous campaign to discredit the accuser. NPR's Anthony Brooks reports.
The case of Paul Edwards is one of the more complicated and controversial cases to emerge last year amid the flood of allegations and revelations about pedophile priests in the Boston Archdiocese. Edwards, a 34-year-old paraplegic, claimed that when he was 13, a priest named William Cummings raped him during an overnight field trip to New York. Cummings died in 1994. Edwards also made charges against Monsignor Michael Smith Foster, the top canon lawyer in the Boston Archdiocese. It's a story Edwards sticks to today.
Not only had I been raped by one priest, but I had been molested by a family friend. And when I say molested, more an inappropriate relationship with Monsignor Foster, which entailed being in his room and being in his bed.
Last August, Edwards filed suit against the church and Monsignor Foster. He charged that in the early 80s, Foster, a close family friend, would invite him into his rectory bedroom, where they would lie together, hold each other, and nap together in their underwear. Foster declined NPR's request for an interview, but last summer he vehemently denied the charges and swiftly assembled a legal and public relations team to defend him. Many former members of the Sacred Heart Parish in Newton, Massachusetts, where the abuse allegedly occurred, rallied to his defense.
When I heard what had happened, I knew that it wasn't true.
Linda Amicangioli, who runs a public relations firm in London, grew up with Paul Edwards and revered Michael Foster as a much-respected and popular parish priest.
When I heard who the accuser was, I was just like, well, that's almost predictable. He was known for his storytelling, and he was a very good storyteller. And he would tell you something that could be pretty outrageous, and he might be challenged, and then he'd tell you a different version of the same story.
Amicangioli contacted the Boston Globe and rallied some 20 former parishioners who came forward with anecdotes to challenge Paul Edwards' credibility and portray him as a serial liar. Among the charges reported by the Globe over several weeks, Foster's supporters said Edwards lied that he'd been a police officer and that he'd pretended to be deaf. The Globe reported that those familiar with Edwards knew him as a teller of tall tales, while the Globe referred to him as a self-described paraplegic. Foster's supporters said the late Father Cummings could not have raped Edwards on the New York field trip years ago because it was a day trip. And they said Monsignor Foster could not have molested him because of strict rules against parishioners entering a priest's private quarters. Walter Robinson of the Boston Globe says interviews with dozens of people who knew Edwards yielded similar doubts.
We reported the doubts, and when you look at the sequence of events, you say, how could there not have been doubts? In addition to that, any number of people raised serious questions about his own credibility in terms of embellishing different things throughout his life.
Within 3 weeks of filing suit and under the spotlight of the Globe's coverage, Edwards attempted suicide and checked into a hospital where his lawyer convinced him to drop the suit. The church, which had suspended Monsignor Foster pending two internal probes, cleared him and reinstated him. But the investigation that cleared Foster also raised doubts about the portrayal of Paul Edwards as a serial liar. For example, contrary to what Foster's supporters told the Globe, Foster admitted to church investigators that Edwards was free to enter his bedroom and did, though he denied he ever molested him. And charges that Edwards had pretended to be deaf and that he lied about being a policeman were contradicted by documents that show he took sign language classes and that he was a summer cop. Also, Edwards' medical records diagnose him as a permanent paraplegic. Again, Paul Edwards.
The self-proclaimed paraplegic got my insurance reviewed, and my credibility was slammed everything about me.
Edwards acknowledges mistakes in his recounting of events 20 years ago. For instance, he now says Father Cummings raped him on an overnight ski trip, not on the New York trip. But he insists it did happen, and that Monsignor Foster did have an inappropriate relationship with him. Carmen Durso, an attorney who represented Edwards after he withdrew his case, says the mistakes Edwards made are typical of sexual abuse victims, who are often damaged people and easy to discredit.
That makes the average sexual abuse victim very susceptible to being characterized as a person who has something wrong with them, a person who is a drunk, a drug addict, mentally unstable, not a credible person. And that just simply makes him more susceptible to the kind of smear campaign that he was subjected to.
Durso says Edwards' downfall was that he dared to accuse a powerful priest. He says Monsignor Foster's legal team not only pressured Edwards to withdraw his case, they also threatened to sue him if he spoke out against Foster in the future. Church documents show they also used private detectives to collect information to discredit Edwards, and that they obtained an affidavit from a priest psychiatrist who never met Edwards, but diagnosed him as a psychopath and a threat to Foster's physical safety.
That alone, I think, should give everyone pause.
Again, Carmen Durso.
That a priest, faced with an accusation of this kind, put together a team of lawyers, public relations people, medical people, to see how much harm they could inflict on Paul Edwards, because that's what it was. Why would a priest do that?
You're asking why an innocent man defended himself against a malicious and false accusation. Would you do anything less?
Ellen Martin is a family friend and counsel to Monsignor Foster. She points out that Foster endured suspension and two church investigations that cleared him.
Really, the question is whether or not Father Michael is getting a fair break. He had to endure like a very public and very ugly accusation at a time when everybody presumed he was guilty. Now, a year later, he continues to suffer these public attacks.
The case remains public in part because Boston's new Archbishop, Sean O'Malley, has pledged justice for victims of sexual abuse. And because Susan Gallagher of the Coalition of Catholics and Survivors urged O'Malley to review the case, which she says smacks of the church's old way of doing business.
I think what happened to Paul Edwards is every victim's worst nightmare. He was demolished by one of the most powerful institutions in the world. It's an opportunity for Sean O'Malley to say, in the past, the church mistreated victims. We re-victimized people whom we had already harmed. We think that the Paul Edwards case is a chance to draw a line between what happened before and what's going to happen in the future.
Earlier this month, Archbishop O'Malley did order a review, but only of the allegations against the late Father Cummings. Archdiocese spokesman Reverend Christopher Coyne says, in part, that's because a second person has come forward to accuse Cummings. But Coyne says the case against Monsignor Foster is closed.
There is no need to reopen the case. It's been adjudicated twice through church law and through church investigation. My concern is that many of the victims' advocates groups are approaching this believing only Mr. Edwards' side of the case, with an unwillingness to acknowledge that there is a very real possibility that there are going to be allegations made against priests that are untrue.
Paul Edwards argues the church is being inconsistent.
Why is it that they're willing to conveniently open the Cummings file, who Cummings happens to be dead, but they're not willing to open the Foster file? If I have credibility, where's the credibility now lie? Just with Cummings, or does it involve the entire case?
Paul Edwards says the past year has destroyed his reputation, and this fall he and his wife sold their home and left Massachusetts. Monsignor Michael Foster has said to be falsely accused was a nightmare that tested his faith. He remains the judicial vicar of the Boston Archdiocese. Anthony Brooks, NPR News, Boston.